Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, pardon me, family, friends and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the scripture and the sense podcast, episode number 793, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. Beloved, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book and the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the aim of this podcast, my dear friends, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived again, and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and from the eternal burning hell by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached it first and who preached it best, when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today, dear friends, we are reading Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. And I pray that you would fill us with your energy and your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word and to understand it and to apply it to our lives and have it to strengthen us in that amazing way that you have it to do. It is beyond us how you do that. And then, Lord, help us to practice your holy word and the principles laid down in your holy word, and to share it with others in a discipleship way, and to proclaim your gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. The word of God reads, "Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts." Pardon me. "And I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." Please allow me to read that powerful verse in your hearing again. "Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." Ladies and gentlemen, pardon me. I just read in your hearing Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Now here is the sense of it. as we still deal with some historical and background information regarding this book from the Faith Life Study Bible. Zechariah's message is one of encouragement. He tells the returned exiles that in spite of humble appearances, God truly cares about Jerusalem and Israel. When Zechariah looked at the stalled rebuilding project, he saw God's vision for what it could be and sought to communicate that vision to the people. And see, this is the job of a good preacher, is to keep people's focus on God and his vision, lest they get distracted with the devil and his vision or their own vision. And both are bad. May I encourage you this morning to keep your focus on God, Jesus, and his vision, God's vision, the Word of God. Don't get caught up in somebody else's vision. Don't get caught up in your own vision. Don't get caught up in the devil's vision. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and he will keep you in perfect peace. And whatever he wants you to build or rebuild, he will do it through you. Now, you can go ahead on and just go on with your day now. Just from that, that's what the Lord wanted me to tell you today. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how difficult it gets. I don't care how strange it gets. You keep your eyes and your heart and your spirit on the Lord. More important, he encouraged the people so that just as God had returned to them, they would return to God. Pardon me, folks. Allow me to say that in your hearing again. More important, he encouraged the people so that just as God had returned to them, they would return to God and follow his ways. Zechariah's vision of the future contained more than a rebuilt temple and a restored community. The later chapters in Zechariah look forward to the coming of a humble ruler from the house of David. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Everything's going to be all right after a while. I don't care what you're going through. It's going to be all right because Jesus is coming back. You can rest in that, my dear friend, or you'll be going to Jesus, and both are good for the saint of God. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Glory be to God. The New Testament writers saw the fulfillment of this prophecy in Jesus. It can be challenging to fully complete a task, especially when we struggle to see beyond our immediate circumstances or are opposed by outside forces. And that's where you are, dear preacher, dear Christian. And I recommend that some of you pastors' wives read a book by a dear, cheerful joyful pastor's wife. The book is titled, I Am Sleeping with the Pastor. Yes, I know it's somewhat suggestive, but it's okay if she's his wife. And she talks about her role as the pastor's wife to be an encouragement to the pastor, to minister to the minister. That's your job, pastor's wife, is not to rule over him, is to take care of him, his needs. You're not the co-pastor. We don't need for you to be the co-pastor, because anything with two heads is a monster. And contrary to what you think, even the women in the church really deep down don't want you to be the co-pastor. They want you to be the pastor's wife, and you do your job. And take care of him and take care of his children. And to the point where you are almost invisible. And so that the people can just see the man of God, and more importantly, the Jesus he preaches. Amen. I feel my help coming. I can hear some of the prophetesses and everybody. See, he was doing good until he said that. No, you need to read the book. I'm Sleeping with the Pastor, from a pastor's wife. And the purpose of the book is to teach pastors' wives to stop trying to rule over your husband and therefore rule over the church and be a Jezebel and trying to be the co-pastor and all of that. We don't need for you to be the co-pastor, darling. We need for you to love that man and take care of that man and be a helpmeet to him. You minister to him so that he can minister to everybody else. Okay? And you don't need to be seen. You don't need to covet his fame and covet his popularity. Let him be. You sleep with the man. Okay, you take care of him, and you take care of his children where he don't have to worry about his family. And don't be the kind of neurotic wife who always wants attention from him and threatening to divorce him because he won't pay you enough attention. Where's that in the Bible? People, don't you get me started this morning. And I'm talking directly to some pastors' wives who are trying to get the women not to listen to me because you done messed them up. They're divorced, listening to you. They don't have a husband to take care of them in the cold, the winter storm. They don't have a husband to cuddle up with. You got your husband because you're sleeping with the pastor. They don't have a husband to cuddle up with in the plague. And there's more coming. There's more trouble coming, okay? You haven't seen anything yet. You have not seen anything yet. You mark my words, it's going to get worse. I would venture to say the next few years are going to be the most hellacious years in the history of America. You need to be encouraging women to humble themselves and to submit to their husbands. That's right. Doggone it. Pastors' wives, you need to be teaching women to submit to their husbands and to love their husbands. And to take care of their husbands and to take care of their children. And all you prophetesses listening to me right now, all of you evangelists, you women evangelists, and you women wannabe pastors, which you're not. You can call yourself whatever you want, but you're not a pastor over a man, period. In the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., my dad who's in heaven, that is ass backwards. It cannot be. It should not be. But anyway, my beloved, in this day and time, you need to be encouraging families to stay together instead of encouraging women to run away from their husbands and their families and get rid of their husband and all this kind of mess. While you still have your husband. See, there are many wives out there right now, former wives, who wish they had their husband when that cold winter storm came through. There are many divorced women out there who wish they had their husband when the plague hit, the plague pandemic hit. And I want to say to all of my female evangelist friends and enemies, prophetesses, we need for you to preach on that. I'm telling you, you need to focus on teaching the women. The Bible tells you specifically to teach and to preach to the women, to respect their husbands, to obey their husbands, to love their husbands, to love and care for their children. Teach them not to be whores in the church, but to stay focused on God and on Jesus and on their children, and all of that will keep them busy so they won't become idle and gossips, full of foolishness and easily persuaded to jump into bed with your husband if she could. See, so you need to focus on that. You have enough, trust me, you have enough to preach on to women until you leave this earth. And you will be doing a great service. You will be doing a great service. And my wife is right here, just inches away from me, helping me in the ministry. You'll be doing a great service. We need somebody else besides Joyce Myers tackling the huge problems with women in the church. We thank God for Dr. Joyce Myers. She's a woman of God. She is a true prophetess, a true evangelist, because her focus is right. Men love her. Men thank God for Joyce Myers, because Joyce Myers be telling you women to get over yourself. Get the sin out of your life. Stop thinking that your ministry is outside of your home first. See, she's already raised her children. Her children help her in the ministry. Where's your children at? And where's your husband at? Her husband helps her in the ministry. And travels with her. Where's your husband at, prophetess? All right, that's what you need to be doing. I don't care if you get mad at me or not, because I'm not beholden to you. I'm not beholden to my own wife. I'm not beholden to my daughters. I'm not beholden to my mother. And I love them all. Pardon me, but I firmly believe that women can handle the truth. I firmly believe, contrary to what you believe, I believe that women are not that fragile that they want to hear lies all the time. Deep down, I believe they want to hear the truth about everything and about themselves. Now, they're going to hurt for it a little bit. They may not like it. They're going to respond to it differently than most men. But after a while, by and by, they're going to realize that if I want the truth, I'll go head on back and listen to that preacher again. One dear lady said yesterday, she thanks God she thanks the Lord for my preaching and teaching, because it's helping her to be a better wife to her husband, and I thank God for that. And I know it hurts. I know it hurts. I know it's painful, but women can handle the truth. They need the truth. And they need for pastors to stop lying to them and husbands to stop lying to them, because they know you're lying to them. And one of the biggest problems in the church, one of the reasons why we're in this plague, weak men and out of control women. Weak men, weak pastors, and men ready to give up the authority that God gave them and give it over to the women. And all I'm saying with to you, I love you. I thank God for you. And many of you have been good to me and my family. And I love you. And I want to continue to run with you. But I can't go down that road with you, man, because it's going to make the church worse. And if this plague has not gotten your attention, I don't know what will. You need to stop this train of transferring authority to Jezebel. Your Jezebel wife, your Jezebel prophetesses, your Jezebel evangelists who want to be called pastors now. And see, you know, it's a demonic thing when it's all about the titles you call people. See, it's a problem when you want to be called, you got a certain title, and you're mad because people won't call you a certain title. I think men and women, I've been saying this for years, ought to get rid of their titles. And if anything, let somebody else call you a title. You don't call yourself a title. God doesn't care about that. He cares about you doing what the title indicates. Stop all this foolishness. I'm evangelist so-and-so, I'm prophetess so-and-so, I'm archbishop so-and-so. Well, sit down somewhere with that mess, man. Stop all of that. Men and women, you feel so low about yourself, you think a title is going to lift you up. Sit down somewhere with that mess. Nobody cares about that. Dr. Tony Evans has earned degrees, but he doesn't give a flip about you calling him doctor. He can care less. Doesn't mean anything to him. Now, some of our white brothers might need to do that to kind of help them, you know, show the right proper respect for the man. And I'm sure that his people know how to tell the white brothers now, you know, recognize now. Don't just call me by my first name and everything if you don't know me. But he doesn't care about anything. People who are humble and meek, like Dr. Tony Evans, they don't care anything about a title. And you need to be the same way. But see, you're not humble and meek. You're trying to be somebody. Who gives a flip what your title is? Do the job. Shut up and do the job, man, woman. Just do. You say God called you to do something, go ahead and do it. Stop trying to be recognized. One lady said she just wanted to sit at the table. I said, yeah, that's great. That's fine. It's wonderful. Sit at the table. But now, you don't have to try to take control over the table. See, we got some folk who, they say nice little things like that, but then they get at the table, they want to take the table over. Now, wait a minute now. Don't get me started, folks. Because, see, I was trying to be, you know, quiet this morning because I'm not feeling that great. But don't get me started. I feel my help coming. See, you don't want me to have to tell you about Mrs. Nutt again. Some of you people just got to, we give you an inch, you want to take a mile. See, sit yourself down somewhere now when there's men in the audience. You humble yourself and submit. No matter how much you want to try to rule over the men, you need to sit down somewhere. And so you're getting on people's nerve with that. really. And so then you're going to get on people's nerves so much, thinking that you got some kind of new found authority, and your husband needs to tell you to be quiet. That's what needs to happen. Because you're probably ruling over him too if you have the audacity to try to rule over these other preachers out here and these other men. We love you, but you need to be in your place. See, that's what you don't like right there, that you have a place. In God's economy, everybody has a place. And you need to stay in your lane. Do what you want. Like I said the other day, I know this in your mind, this is the day of the woman. This is the day of black folk, and this is the day of the gays and the homosexuals and the lesbians and so forth. You can do what you want, but I'm not going with you. You go on with your bad self, but I'm gonna stay with God and Jesus and the Word of God. You know why? Because God has blessed me. God has shown me favor. Because I stick with what God says and not what I think or what I want to do. I learned that a long time ago. I learned to fear God. And I would suggest that you learn how to fear God. And because you cross God, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And what started out well is going to end up terribly for you. And if you are a woman and married, your ministry is your husband and your children first. And if you're a grandmother, your ministry is to be a grandmother. That's right. Some of you grandmothers, you're too busy for your own grandchildren. Because you want to be this and that, and you're still striving for it. And here you are, as old as you are, don't have time for your own grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Trying to be somebody, want to be respected. See, if you're truly a minister called by God, you're humble, you're broken. You don't want to be anything other than what God called you to be. I had to pause and tell you all that because the church is in a mess and got us all in a mess. That's right. The confused, disobedient, rebellious church, God's people, got us in a mess because of leadership in the church, pastors allowing stuff they know they shouldn't allow. And one of the things that is completely out of control is the Jezebels in the church who rule the church and who rule the pecking order of the preachers. When, as I told you, contrary to what you believe, women don't even want, the women in the church don't want your wife to be over you like that. They don't. They want to hear from you, from God through you. Preacher man, man of God. Do you remember the days when they used to call the preacher, they added a letter to the word man, they added the word D. Back in those days, back in the South, they called the man of God. The man of God. I don't know what kind of creature that is, but I tell you one thing, he was something. All right, let me leave you folks alone. At these times, it can help to refocus and to try to see things from God's point of view. May I encourage you to do that? And you know what? See, there's some pastors right now, they're mad at me because I'm saying these things. But, you know, they're mad for other people. They're not mad at me because they believe what I'm saying. They're mad at me because I'm upsetting their little apple cart. But the people that I'm really talking to, deep down, they're glad somebody's telling the truth. This does not mean they're going to obey what I tell them. It does not mean they're going to obey the word of God. They're not going to, some are not going to change. Even though God is tearing down their little temple and their little thing that they built up, they're trying to hold on to the little Tower of Babel they built, because it was a good money maker for them, see. But deep down, they're glad somebody, their husband didn't tell them, the pastor didn't tell them. In fact, the pastor egged them on. Their father didn't tell them, because the father didn't want to offend his daughter. I have many daughters, and I love them all. But I know that I'm not going to contribute to them messing up their lives by not being obedient to God. They can do what they please. Pardon me. They can do what they please. But I'm going to tell them the truth on what God wants them to be and how God wants them to act. And this is what I believe. As rebellious as my wife has been down through the years, you know the main reason why she's still here? It's not because I'm a great romantic man. I've never been that with any woman. It's because I have never lied to my wife before we got married or since we've been married, and she knows it. I've always told her the truth, always. And yes, you can be married 33 plus years and never lie to your spouse. And if you are in a marriage where there are lies going on back and forth, you're not in a marriage. I don't know what the heck you're in, but that's not a marriage. Married people, above all people, cannot live in a lying situation. See? And because I've told her the truth, and I have not allowed her to have her way, or to control me, or to be a Jezebel in my family or in the ministry, I don't get my messages from my wife. I have never bought into the lie that I must consult with my wife to hear from God. You're getting ready to get me upset again, because many pastors have taught this foolishness that you must consult with your wife. What did your wife say about it? Consult with your wife and see what God has said to your wife. That's a lot of hell, and that is, in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., ass backwards. God is going to speak to the husband directly. God's going to speak to the man of God directly. God does not need to speak through his wife, unless he's a dummy. He's an ignoramus or something. But on a serious note, that step is not necessary. I believe that God speaks to all pastors directly. In fact, other than your pastor, who ought to be able to speak into your life from time to time, there ought not to be any other preacher you follow. Their little stupid blog, later for that. Unfollow them, unfriend them. You don't need to follow anybody, preacher, if you're a God-called preacher, later for that. Later for that. Oh, well, he has a big church. That's why I follow him. I want to learn and see what he did to stop it. God didn't call you to build a big church. God called you to be the pastor and to preach his word, be faithful and obedient. And if you do that, you may get a big church, but you may not. So unfollow all of these jokers you follow, and all these voices coming into your head. Some of them are full of hell and the devil. Some of them not even born again. Some of them you were following committed suicide. Some of them you were following invited church women in the church to their hotel room on trips, and committed adultery and fornication and lied on the women and everything else. Don't wait to unfollow them then. It's too late. Okay, so the main reason why my wife and I are still married is because I've never lied to her about anything. I've always told her the truth. See, tell people the truth. And you know what? You know what? Deep down in her heart, she appreciates that. This idea that women can't handle the truth, that women can't take anything, that they can't take rebuke and correction. All of the women listening to me, deep down in their heart, they long for that. Because they know for real, that's real love. You know what turns on women? And when you can look them in the eye, they like that. Number two, tell them the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it hurts. Number three, make them laugh. Don't lose your sense of humor, and she'll stay with you. She may not like everything you do. She may not like everything you say, sir. But if you're a liar and you can't look her in the eye and tell her the truth and correct her when she's wrong and tell her to shut up when she's talking too much, contrary to your little effeminate way of doing things, that's a turn on to her. She's looking for a man like that. Now, will she always react immediately like she should? Nope. And I want to tell you something else. You pastors and preachers who are trying to push women out there to pastor over men and all that, you shouldn't do that. God did not call them to do that. And one of the reasons why women ought not to be pastors, and you can verify this by listening to some of them going back, is they're not really equipped to do that. They're not wired to do that. They can pastor women all day long, but not men. Because the attacks and the things that will come against a true man of God they will not be able to handle in dealing with people and dealing with men especially. Because they allow themselves, and they're wired this way, to tie themselves too close to the situation. Hear me on this now. Whereas most men, if they're called by God, can objectively deal with a situation. Most women do not have that filter. Their person, their emotions will get connected to that situation where they're going to respond differently and maybe even hurt longer from it than a man would. And then, you know, if you check out their preaching, it's always about, they're always coming from, in most cases, somewhere they're going to weave in their feelings and their emotions into the message. And that's a dangerous thing. Now, if they do that with women and children, little children, that's how they relate to each other. That's fine. But to subject your men to that is not good. Even though many men today have been brought up by their mothers, and that's why we have a mess on our hands. So, you know, women can preach, but they need to preach to women and children and not rule over men and not usurp the authority over men. That is backwards from Genesis to Revelation. You say, preacher, you're just not with it. I'm not trying to be with it. I'm just telling you what works and what does not work. So you can do with it what you please. But I'm calling on pastors to stand on the word and not get caught up in that, because this is what has caused us to be a part of the reason what has caused us to be in the mess that we're in. I guarantee you, the man is going to be responsible. The pastor, the male pastor, is going to be responsible. But the churches that act like they have a struggle about what to do with homosexuals, I guarantee you the church, the pastor, the leadership, they're influenced by women. Because women cannot see the danger of this like men can see it. Some can. Some know it to be a bad situation. But they get their emotions involved and they say, well, why we can't let them in? The man is married to a man. They got wedding bands on. They're just another family. And the pastor knows better and can look at that thing objectively and knows that God does not like this. But because he's so influenced by her, the Jezebel in the church, oftentimes the pastor's wife and other women in the church who are progressive, I guarantee you if you go back, you'll find a woman behind the pastor or leadership of the church for letting homosexuals, sodomites, lesbians become members of the church. And you have opened a can of worms that you can't close. And the church has lost and the church is losing because of that one reason. That's a bridge too far. And God's not going to let you go over that bridge. And that's why he shut down your church. In fact, there's an article today that talks about most churches, after all of the stuff you folks went through last year, I tried to tell you not to open up, are shut down. And the other part of the article is, and the rest of the church who try to meet, the audience or the crowd or whatever, the people who go is way down. And rest assured, the devil didn't shut your church down. That's what some of the charismatic preachers are teaching. It's a lie. God shut it down because you were not doing in it what you were supposed to be doing. You were not doing the basic things, such as the Great Commandment or the Great Commission. You're allowing homosexuals to be members and leaders in the church. Homosexuals, sodomites, lesbians who are so-called married with children that they have adopted into the church. You got the women ruling over the men. You have immodesty in the church with women up there on the praise team with skinny jeans on, got the behinds all in people's faces. And if you think that men in the audience are not looking at those behinds, you're a lie. Your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. And the truth is not in you. That's why we got so much whoredom and whoremongering in the church today, and God has shut your churches down for this foolishness. Because God told you, all of us, but especially women, to dress modestly. And you pastors have allowed, and you pastors' wives have allowed people to come into the church with skinny jeans on, and no man, no normal, regular, hot-blooded man can take the skinny jeans or the yoga pants. We can't handle that right there. We can't handle that, my beloved. No. We can't handle that on the street, and we certainly can't handle that in the church, and we certainly can't handle the women who wear yoga pants and no panties, skinny jeans and all that, pushed up bra in church on the praise team, you all up in front, and you just praise and you just singing. It's baffling to me. It's strange that you think you can get up there and do that, and gyrating and everything else. And I preached all of this stuff for the past 12 years. Warned you. Nobody listened. Preaching out in the wilderness. And you're so proud now that you're in this bad situation, you won't confess your sins. You won't repent. Let me continue. But I said all of that to say this, as I preached last night, as I said the night before, things are going to get worse. Do not believe the lies of the politicians. Don't believe the lies of the happy talk pastors and preachers who have been bought off to tell you that everything's going to be all right, peace, peace, when there's no peace. Allow me to continue, my beloved. Zechariah reminds us that when we are discouraged, we must look to Yahweh. We must look to God for direction. Yahweh is the ultimate cosmic force, and he is victorious through Jesus Christ. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for leading me to speak to the people. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. But help all of us to humble ourselves and to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Lord, I still feel inclined to pray that prayer. But Lord, I am still picking up, it seems to me, that from you, that is not going to happen. But let your will be done. Grant me your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to fulfill all righteousness, to do what your holy word has commanded me to do. That is my hope, and that is my prayer. But Lord, let your will be done and not mine. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening, because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you. Until next time. Your majesty, peace and love, that you're in this place. Please let me see.